Shalom, everyone. I'm so glad to be in this place, and I really thank Yahweh for this chance that He gave me to be able to come to this place, all the way from Kenya. I believe Yahweh brought me to this place because getting visas all the way from Kenya, they make it very, very hard for us to get them. But it was quite simple for me, and I really thank Yahweh for that favor that He gave me. Before I start my teaching, let me just give a brief history of how I came to know the Cunninghams. It was back in the year 2006, and I was hungry. I was hungry for more of the Word of Yahweh. I had just graduated from local Bible school in 2003, but I knew that there was more than what I had studied and I had experienced. So I went to the internet, and those days, accessing the internet was not easy. Back in Kenya, it was not easy. And I went to this place, the internet cafe, and I was browsing. I was looking for Smith Wigglesworth. I had read a book about Smith Wigglesworth, and I was interested to know more about him. So as I was looking as I was typing on the website, I saw the Google page brought one icon, and it was about learn how to prophesy. And I said, I would like to do that. So I clicked to it, and it took me to the Telios Ministries, and the article on how to prophesy popped on my screen, and I read it, and I was encouraged, and it was very new to me. Whatever I read was very inspiring to me, because I thought what I had learned from the Bible school is that one person can prophesy, another person word of knowledge, another person miracles. But according to the article that Chuck had written, that we all have the gift, Holy Spirit, and we can all manifest the nine manifestations of the Spirit. And that was very foreign to me that time. And then I read a few more articles, and I decided, let me contact the person who has written this article and thank him for it and tell him how this website has blessed me. And I remember the first email that Chuck wrote to me, and he said, if you love Wigglesworth, you love John G. Lake. I did not know who John G. Lake was. And then when I gave him my address, he sent me the Rotherham Bible, he sent me Telios books, and he sent me a book by John G. Lake. And he started me a whole new journey of learning the Word of Yahweh. That thing changed my life forever. And I remember getting so excited because everything that I was reading was so different from what I knew in the past. You know, if you have been growing up in under this ministry, you will not know a lot of funny things that are being taught outside there. There are so many things that are so erroneous, and I was fighting many of them, and I was trying my best to prove this book wrong. But the more I read, the more I was convinced that there is a lot of truth in what I was reading, and that changed my life. So that is back in the year 2006. And we kept on communicating, and Chuck kept sending me articles, and he kept sending me books, and I have a wonderful library back at home, and we are using it with several people back in Kenya who have read as much as I have. I remember someone like Jeremy. I know he's going to watch. Hello, Jeremy. I am talking about you right now. He has read, I think, the whole library, and he loves the Word. And actually, let me say that, let me greet my wife Carol too, and Rose, and Mona, of course my kids Emmanuel and Eliana, and everyone of Wonders of Faith Ministries who is watching this video. Thank you for your support, thank you for your prayers, and these are the people who have been blessing our ministry to help the children, and to become a blessing also to other to the youth who are into prostitution and into other horrible things. So I'm glad to be in this place. So that is 2006, and from then the journey began, and this is the 10th year since I knew the Cunninghams. So I praise Yahweh for them. I remember 2011, Aaron said he wants to come to Kenya, and I organized an open air meeting for him, because what I do basically is that we plant fellowships, what we are known as churches, but also we evangelize a lot. We go out to give the message to the lost and bring them to Christ. You know, I actually believe that if the body of Christ will be active and win souls and teach people how to grow in the Word of Yahweh, there will be less crime, there will be less immorality, there will be less bad stuff happening in the world. That is one of the goals that we are trying to do. For example, in my town, Kitengela, where we are right now, we are going out and we are preaching through the projector outside. We set just a temporary screen and we project the Jesus film and some other movies, and crowds come to watch. And after they come, after the movie is over, I give a brief sermon, and then ask those who want to give their life to Christ, we give them some contact information, we get their phone numbers, and the following day we spend the day calling them and wanting to know where they are. And that is how we are winning souls to Christ, one of the ways which we are using to win souls for Christ. And also, we used to go for at night to win souls at the place where prostitutes used to stand. They stand. We go there with Rose. There's a lady called Rose. I think Aaron has met her and Israel has met her. She's a wonderful woman. We go out with her and some other people in our team, and we actually talk to the prostitute at night, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. And many of them shed tears. They cry when we talk. We tell them about Yahweh. We tell them about salvation. We tell them, why are you doing this? And they have their own stories, and they shed tears. And we really love to do much more for them. So right now, several came to Christ, and we helped them go to a college somewhere to study how to make hairdressing. And that is last year, about 2014. So right now, a lot of them, they know how to make hair and they came out of the trade. But we have a long way to go. Anyway, so basically that is what we are doing. And also we have a children ministry which started in 2014 in the new town where we have a new fellowship in Kitengela. And this children ministry, what we do is that because we have so many poor children in the neighborhood, and we started this because we went house to house and looked, trying to find the ones who really need help. And there were so many who had so many needs. And what we did is that we invited them for Saturday fellowships. So every Saturday we have a children fellowship. They come at 10 o'clock and we spend the whole day until 3 o'clock with them. And sometimes they get up to 80, 50, 60, like that. We have a meal for them. And then we teach them the word of Yahweh. We play with them, we teach them Christian songs, we just show them love and have a good time with them. And also, we teach them things like hygiene, how to take a shower, how to have new clothes. And some of them, they need shoes. Some of them, when we went to their homes, they were living in a very horrible condition. I remember we went and saw one single mother with three children, and they only had one mattress. And it was horrible for them. It was a horrible condition. And I remember through Joshua Generation and Telios Ministries, we got so many, several families, mattresses and mosquito nets and blankets and some food stuff. And we made their day. We made their year, by the way. Even today, I believe we are using those stuff. So it's a wonderful blessing. And we have a long way to go. But I thank you all for your support. I thank you for your prayers. I thank you for your partnership. May Yahweh bless you and expand your territories. Amen. Amen. Now, let me now go to my teaching today. And I have called my teaching, I've given it a topic, receiving Yahweh's abundance through the obedience of faith. Receiving Yahweh's abundance through the obedience of faith. And we are going to go to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4. Second Kings chapter 4 from verse number 1. We are going to talk about Elisha and the widow's cruse of oil. We are going to read from verse number 1 to verse number 7. Who would like to read that for me? Wow, good.
Now the certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets made outcry unto
Elisha,
saying, thy servant, thy husband is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant was one who received Yahweh. Now the Creator hath come to take my two boys to himself as a bondman. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me what thou hast in the house. And she said, Thy maidservant hath nothing at all in the house save a flask of oil.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Go, ask thee vessels from without of all thy neighbors, empty vessels, let him not be few.
Let them not be few. I want you to note that. We are going to emphasize on that a little bit. Let them not be few. See, it is emphasized. Let them not be few. If you look at the Rotherhams, there is an emphasis on that statement. Let them not be few. And when thou hast come in, then shalt thou shut the door behind thee and behind thy sons, and thou shalt pour out all these vessels. Thou shalt pour out into all these vessels, and that which is full shall thou set aside. So she went out from his presence and shut the door behind her and behind her sons, they bringing near to her and she pouring out. And it came to pass, when their vessels were full, that she said to her son, Bring me a vessel more. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Now, we are all familiar with this story. But then I found something very incredible. Before I go deeper into the teaching, I saw something very incredible about the identity of this woman. From this story, we are not given the name of this woman. And so it can be, after reading it, you may think that it was just any other woman. But I have this book here, The Works of Josephus, Flavius Josephus. And he is a Jewish historian, and he has written a lot of wonderful things about the Jewish history. And this book here is translated by a man called William Whiston. I am going to read this book, The Antiquity of the Jews, chapter number 4, and I'm going to begin from verse paragraph 2, which is talking about this story which we have read. Now listen to what Josephus says about this woman. She was a widow and the husband had died. And Josephus says that, for they say that the widow of Obadiah, Ahab's steward, came to him and said that he was not ignorant how her husband had preserved the prophets that were to be slain by Jezebel, the wife of Ahab. For she said that he hid 100 of them and had borrowed money for their maintenance, and that after her husband's death, she and her children were carried away to be made slaves by the creditors. And she desired of him to have mercy upon her on account of what her husband did, and afford her some assistance. So, Josephus says that this woman, who we have just read about in 2 Kings, was the wife of Obadiah. Now, who was Obadiah? We know from the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 18, that Obadiah was this man who was a steward of Ahab. You know, some good men were working close and were serving some kings, even if they were bad kings. Obadiah was one of those guys, and he was so close to King Ahab, however he revered Yahweh. Ahab and his wife were wicked, and they were against Yahweh, and they were worshipping idols. They had Baal and Asherah as their gods. But this guy, Obadiah, he took 100 prophets of Yahweh, and he hid them in two different caves, and he was giving them bread and water. And this was during a famine. And Josephus says that he actually put himself in debt. He borrowed money and fed the prophets of Yahweh, who, if they had appeared in the city, they would have been killed. So he did a righteous thing. I don't know, because it is not clear if it is Yahweh who had told him to do that. But I believe because he revered Yahweh, he did what was right. He protected the servants of Yahweh, the prophets of Yahweh. You know, we are children of Yahweh, and because we revere Yahweh, it's supposed to be an automatic thing to do what is right. We are supposed to follow what is right, because we are the light of this world, and we are supposed to do what is right. Sometimes you may not hear a voice telling you to do what is right. Sometimes you may not even need hear a preacher telling you what is right. But with the Spirit of Yahweh in us, we have that ability to do what is right. We can perceive what is right and do it. I believe this is what Obadiah did. And you know, in these days in Israel, a believer of Yahweh would not thrive in such an environment, because there was a lot of oppression from Jezebel and Ahab. And during, of course, it was during the famine. There was a famine in the land. And the prophets of Yahweh, you can imagine, they did not have food, they did not have clothes, they could not get access to water. And this guy putting himself in debt and feeding them, and at the same time was serving Ahab, he was actually compromising his own life. He could be, if they found out about him, they could have killed him because of doing that. But he did it anyway. He did it anyway. Hallelujah. So this guy, we are told that he met Elijah, and Elijah sent him to call Ahab. Now in 2 Kings, we are told that when he died, he had died with a lot of debts. This is what Josephus has revealed to us. And now, because Elijah had already narrated this to Elisha, Elisha saw that this person is a candidate for this kind of a miracle. He was a candidate for a miracle. So he looked at her and said, "What do you have?" It is a very wonderful thing in my heart today to know that Yahweh will reward our faithfulness even when we go to sleep. Even our children, our wives and children, if they will continue to walk in obedience, if they continue to walk according to Yahweh's will, Yahweh will reward our work of faithfulness and our work of faith, even if we are not in this world. And whatever we are doing, whatever Chuck and Wendy and Israel and Aaron and everyone is doing for the work of Yahweh, for the furtherance of the message, do you know what? It has generational impact. Look at now. These are children prophesying and speaking in tongues. Think about what is going to happen to their children. What about the third and fourth generation? You see? So Yahweh will reward their faithfulness even for generational, even to the next generation. This is what is happening to this family. This guy, Obadiah, is no longer alive. Now, will Yahweh allow his children to suffer for because of the debt that was used to provide for his own prophets? I don't believe he will. I don't believe he will. So this is what happened. We are going to read Psalms 37. I want to show you about what I've just said, that Yahweh will bless even our children, and he will, some of the rewards that we receive, yes, we receive some rewards when we are alive. We shall receive our rewards at the resurrection when we go before the judgment seat of Christ. But also I believe that even when we are asleep, Yahweh will not forsake. He will not forsake our children. He will not forsake those who we leave behind, as long as they continue walking in the ways of Yahweh. Psalms chapter 37, verse number 25. 37, 46. See this verse? I just love that verse. It says, "Young have I been, moreover I'm old, yet have I not seen a righteous man forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." I believe it is his seed, those who are walking in the ways of Yahweh. If David knows that some of his seed did not follow Yahweh, and they did not do what is right, however, he says that he has not seen his righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Then, a lot of people don't see the next verse. Look at what the next verse is saying. All day long, he is showing favor and lending. generosity, becoming a blessing to other people. You see, if there's something that I believe Yahweh blesses, is generosity. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it says that our seeds, we shall receive abundance when we sow. There's an abundance which comes our way by the obedience of sowing. Now, this one here is saying that all day long he is showing favor and lending. His seed, therefore, shall have a blessing. You see, he is talking about the future. It's not even him himself, but his seed, his children, future, shall have a blessing. Hallelujah. Amen. It's such a blessing to know that when we sow seeds, when we sow financial seeds to help other people, we are blessing even our children. They shall receive that blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. So, this is what is happening to this man. So, now let's go to back to the story of 2 Kings. Now let's talk about the prophet Elisha. Now a problem has been presented to him. This woman comes and she knows that the only person who can help her is this person who has the spirit of Yahweh, because he hears from Yahweh and he can energize mighty works using the power of Yahweh. I believe she came also to Elisha because Elisha knew her situation. He knew her husband. So she knew that this man is going to take this matter into his own hands and present it to Yahweh for the solution. Do you know what? We can solve so many of our problems by doing that, exactly that. By going to Yahweh and asking him for the solutions and asking him for a word of knowledge. Sometimes what we need is a word of knowledge. Sometimes what we need is the wisdom of Yahweh to be quickened within us, and we end up getting a solution. So this woman comes and she says to Elisha that this is the problem that I have. And then Elisha says, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? What do you have? Do you know, I believe that was a word of knowledge straight from Yahweh. That was a word of knowledge straight from Yahweh. You cannot just think of the oil shall multiply just like that. Yahweh assured him. He got a revelation from Yahweh about the solution for this woman. Hallelujah. And then this is what happened. If you study a little bit of how the prophets, especially in the Hebrew scriptures, the prophet's word was taken very seriously. So prophets were not supposed to just make a fun of the prophecies. They were actually supposed to be stoned, those who are speaking lies in the name of Yahweh. They were supposed to be stoned. And it is so amazing that Yahweh has prophets even today. And actually he has given us what every prophet had, the spirit. With the spirit of Yahweh in us, we can all prophesy. We can all hear Yahweh's voice. We can all interpret it and get solution for ourselves and for the people who are around us. Isn't that exciting? That is so exciting. That is so wonderful. We can all gather like this, and we have been hearing prophecies from the kids and from everyone. And you know what? Even if you have a specific thing, you can go with it to Yahweh straight away and say, Yahweh, or if you cannot hear for yourself, you need help, our brothers and sisters are here. Come to them. Let us pray for this matter. And they are going to get something from Yahweh and communicate it. This time it was Elisha and this widow. And he receives a word of knowledge that this oil is going to multiply. And so he tells her now, you know, what do you have? And she says, a cruse of oil. And then he gives her an instruction. Now, this is where this woman was supposed to apply faith. She is not the one who received the revelation. It is the prophet who received the revelation. But then he gives her an instruction. And he tells her, go and borrow vessels from your neighborhood, as many as you can. And now I told you to remember this: do not borrow a few. Borrow not a few. Get as much as you can. And then close the doors behind with your sons, and then watch what Yahweh is going to do for you. I don't know the size of the cruse, but maybe this size. But I believe those vessels were big. They were big vessels. And that small bottle of oil filled all the vessels. filled all the vessels. And when they were all full, she said to the son, bring another vessel. And the son said, there is no any other vessel. Now, that is when the oil ceased. Got to think of it. If you were asked of Yahweh to borrow the vessels, if you were that woman, how many vessels would you borrow? How many vessels would you borrow? Now, do you know the supply of Yahweh was there? It's only that there was no more room for it. Does that remind you of a scripture? Malachi chapter 3 verse 10. And Yahweh had told the Jews that if they tithe, if they brought offerings, he would open the windows of heaven for them. He would pour out a blessing that they would not find room enough to keep the blessing. Yahweh's blessing, Yahweh's abundance is much more greater than we can ever contain. I believe this woman, after all the vessels were full of the oil. Okay, I know she was surprised, but maybe, just maybe, come to think of it, maybe she thought I could have borrowed some more. Think of it that way. Maybe she said, I couldn't have limited Yahweh in this way. But I believe she had enough to sell the oil and pay her debts, and also use the rest of the oil money for her family, because that is what the prophet told her to do next. But do you know what? I believe this situation changed this woman's life. But I believe that one way in another, she thought I could have borrowed some more. Do you know that sometimes we have this, we ask Yahweh of things without expecting much. And I think it is time that we see the big picture. Yahweh is a God of abundance. And his abundance is released when we walk in obedience. The obedience releases Yahweh's abundance. Obedience of faith releases Yahweh's abundance. It is as easy as that. And Yahweh can do exceedingly more than what we can ever ask or imagine. And his resources are much more than what we can ever contain. What do you believe in Yahweh for today? What do you think Yahweh can do for you?
A lot.
A lot. Yes, a lot. How much is the a lot?
Everything.
Now, as we and as I am about to close my teaching today, I want you to know this. I want you to know that at the end of the day, if the situation is a matter of your freedom or your bondage, then if you are really in a position like that, it's either I receive from Yahweh or nothing else, then you will expand your expectation from Yahweh. One of the things that causes us not to receive from Yahweh is because we have alternatives. We know we can do this. We can do that. We are praying, yes, but we have some alternative. We know what we can do if Yahweh fails, somehow Yahweh fails. And that puts us in a compromising position. We can trust Yahweh for anything. And he is more than we can ever ask. He told Abraham, I am your exceeding great reward. I am your reward. He said to the Levite, I am your inheritance. He is greater than we can ever ask or imagine. Amen?
Amen.
Let us bow down our heads. Yahweh, we thank you for this wonderful moment that you have had of your word. Thank you for opening the scriptures for us to understand them. And thank you for using this story, which is actually not a story, but something that really happened in the lives of this woman, the widow of Obadiah, and how you used your prophet to bring a solution to her life and her children. And Yahweh, thank you for assuring us that as we walk in obedience and we are generous with you in the blessing that you have placed in our hands, then Yahweh, your doors of abundance, your windows of heaven are open for us, and we can receive much more than we can ever askovink. By children, I love you and I want you to experience a divine flow of my blessings and favor. I want you to know that the only limitation is in your thinking and in your understanding and in your faith. But if you expect great things and not doubt in your heart, there is nothing which is impossible for you. Remember the word that says that with Yahweh all things are possible, and also remember that word that says that all things are possible to them that believe. You, if you are believers, then do not put any limitation. Do not have anything that is coming against my understanding, your understanding of me, and dependence on me. Because as you could keep on depending on me and showing forth in works of faith, obedience of faith, practical obedience to what I've instructed you, then you shall continually see the abundance of my blessings coming upon your life. And even if you are seeing delays here and there, trust me, be assured that I am with you. I am holding you by my right hand, and I'm teaching you wonderful things that you shall use even in your future. And also rest assured that even the next generation, and even the second and third, fourth generation, as long as they are walking in my ways, I shall never leave nor forsake them. For I am Yahweh your God. Amen. Amen.